Always when I come here behind the sacred desk, I have so many things that I want to say till I hardly know which way to start to get over my message. But let's read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning of the first verse. Let's stand together, if you will, while we read the word. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should be not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you can be seated. You know, there's so much in this one scripture. When I say the one scripture, I'm speaking of the one one chapter here. It would take a long, long time to minister on it. But I'd like to comment just a little bit here to open our minds up. It says in the 19th verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, it said, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. To wit, a lot of times we use the terms to wit, to wit, the redemption of the body. To wit, the redemption of the body. Here the terms is used to wit that God was in Christ, knowing that God is a spirit, that God was in Christ. Now, to wit that God was in Christ, that is to come to understand, come to know, or be able to grasp the fact that it was God in a human body in this world. That it actually was God, the eternal spirit, in his fullness in the body of Jesus as Jesus walked here in the world. Now, it is true if you step all night long on dope, lounging around, watching television, eating, drinking, your gullible desires for the flesh, and the devil just having his reins on you and riding you, that you're not going to get anything I say this morning. You're not going to enjoy anything I say this morning, because you are so dead to God and so alive to the world and filled with corruption until the skin worms are eating you up. They're working in your body, those devils and demons. But if you are looking for salvation and eternal life, and you're having some kind of understanding as toward God, His house, and as I said here, Paul said, knowing the terrors of the Lord. If you understand the judgments of God, where He said, ye that forget God, I will tear you into pieces, and that all nations that forget me, I shall turn them into hell. And I will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth, that all of your offerings as a wicked people are abomination in my sight. All of your prayers, I won't hear them because they are abomination in my sight. And that you will have no peace because you are like the waters, the waves of the sea that's ever casting your mire up upon the bank. See, there is no peace to the wicked, and ye shall not see when good cometh, because your eyes are blinded by the god of this world, even Lucifer, that ye should not see when good comes. So then, the Bible said, the coming of the terror of the Lord, of the day of the Lord, that great day, it shall come upon you. The Bible said it shall fall upon you like a snare upon all them that dwell on the earth, and as a thief in the night, it shall come, and ye shall not be ready, for in an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man will come, and He will appoint you your part with the hypocrite, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But if you come thinking about this thing as to find Christ, to find eternal life, to take the warning, the Bible said you can warn a wise man and he'll do something about it. But a fool, you can warn him, but he won't stop. He'll go on until the dart strikes through the liver. And it's too late. So we come here to warn you on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, Wednesday nights, on Friday nights. We come here to warn you. And some of you we have warned over and over, and you have not taken the warning. Neither have you incorporated these things within your life as to a lifestyle. And you've not taken them. You're still going on in the same way of life that you've always went, doing the same things that you've always done, coming to church, being religious, listening, going right back out to the same things as a rut through life. And because of this, the Bible said, being often reproved, having hardened your heart to stiffen your neck, He said, you'll be destroyed. He said, and suddenly it will come, and that without remedy. It doesn't sound good. I didn't call the man's name, so I can say this. It's like the man that had the heart attack in the last day or two. He had a heart attack. I understand he was living with a woman that was not his wife. He wasn't expecting to go over and meet God in that kind of condition. But all of a sudden, just like that, and away he went. See, and that's the way it works. All of a sudden, unexpected, because you have your mind on the world. And you have your mind on the flesh. And you have your mind on eating and drinking and buying and selling and getting gain and comforts and convenience. I warn you again, the Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. People that are at ease in Zion that contribute to their own comforts and convenience and are always looking for something to better their life and their state of affairs. The Bible said, woe unto them. One woe cometh and then another woe cometh. God is going to plow the fields of those people. It's like a fattening hog that's being fattened for the kill. God gives them everything because He's going to slay them. The Bible said in the Old Testament He caused thousands of quail to come in so Israel could feed. And He fed them to the fool because they kept grumbling and they wanted the things of the world. And He fed them to the fool, and then He was angry. He just kind of backed off and was real angry. He said, I'll feed you to the fool and then I'll slay the fattest among you. And so He did. He did. So we find out that when everything is prosperous and going real good in the world and nothing seems to be wrong, God is fattening you for the kill. Because if you are His, then you're chastened all the day long, accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Whereas the Bible said, in these things we're more than conquerors
Jesus having given his life for us. But if he lets you by, if you don't have chastisement and he lets you by, and everything goes along smooth, and you err and you stumble and you stagger and you do the things of the world and you don't straighten those things out and you don't make any effort, it's because your destruction is coming sudden. He's going to destroy you, and he's not going to give you a chance to get into the rims of glory. So if you are God's, then the Bible said you are chastened. If you are without chastisement, then are you bastards. For the Bible said all of God's children are chastened. So we see that we can differentiate here between the wicked and between the evil. He tells us in the 7th chapter, the 1st verse, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. All right, let's read just a little bit more here now. I'll go back and review this, read it again. I caught some hearts. It was clear out of the church. That's why I said what I did. You know, you may be present in body, but absent in spirit. This is just the opposite that we're teaching here. We're present. A lot of times we are present with God in spirit, and we are absent in the body. Paul said, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And so that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, that is this human body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. I'm reading this all over again. For we commit not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I read that over because I want some of them to hear it here this morning that wasn't listening. All right, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ. Here it shows us that God was in Christ. He was in Christ without measure. He was the fullness. God was the fullness in Christ, and Christ was the fullness of God. But to wit that God was in Christ. To wit that God was in Christ. See, if God was in Christ, then God is in you and I. This is the thing that we need to know, is that we're not just walking by faith down here. And we're not just doing something by faith, as the average preacher will try to get you to believe. We're not just walking by faith, as someone would say, we really don't have anything, Brother Pike. But because Jesus died for us and we're saved by faith, we just confess that we're Christians when we really don't have anything at all. That's not the way that God works. God doesn't work like that at all. We're not just walking by faith with nothing down here, all alone with no one to help us, no one to guide us. That's not what we're doing. We're walking with Christ's Spirit on the inside of us. I have Christ's Spirit in me. And you might say, well, I believe in faith, Brother Pike. I believe that if we believe, that's it. It doesn't matter about what's inside of us. But let me tell you something. The Bible says if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So then you must have the Spirit of Christ. It doesn't matter how much you believe. You know, you can believe all you want to, but that isn't going to do any good. It doesn't matter what you believe or how much you believe. The thing is whether or not Christ is on the inside of you. To be born again means you've got to have Christ on the inside of you. A little baby can come into this world, but it can be a stillbirth. The child can come, but it can be a stillbirth. Because if there's no quickening of life in that little body, that is a stillbirth. And that means that that child is dead. So then you've got to have life. To be a believer, that's fine. I say this so often. To be a believer, that's all right. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. But the devils also believe. But that doesn't mean the devils have salvation, nor eternal security, nor eternal life. See, if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe. But you've got to have God's Spirit. If you have not God's Spirit, you're none of His. You don't belong to God unless you have God's Spirit. So we need God's Spirit. If you're born again, then you have God's Spirit. If you're not born again, you don't have God's Spirit. Folks, let me tell you something. This thing about getting to heaven with God without God's Spirit, you might as well to counsel that out of your life. There is no such thing. I know that preachers all over the world preach that you can get to heaven as long as you believe. And that the infilling of the Spirit is altogether something different. But I'm telling you, it's not like that. Somebody says, well, you get saved and you get a Spirit, and then you get sanctified and you get a Spirit, and you get glorified and you get a Spirit, but that's not the way it is. God is one Spirit. There is one Spirit, and that is the Spirit of Christ. And that Spirit of Christ comes into my heart and into your heart when you're born again. If you don't have that Spirit, you're not born again. You can say, I'm a believer, but that doesn't mean you're born again. You've got to have the Holy Ghost on the inside, and the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. There's not two Holy Ghosts. There's not three Holy Ghosts. There is not a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. As you understand Him as to be three different persons, there is no such thing. I can't understand for the life of me how that people that are so intelligent can teach any such as that. And yet, throughout the world, they teach that. All over the world, they teach that. And the devil does that for one reason. You might wonder why the devil wants to teach a trinity of the Godhead. The reason that he wants to teach it is to do away with the power that's in the name Jesus. If he can teach a Trinity Godhead, then there's got to be a Trinity of names. And that means that you get confused as to what salvation comes in. See, there is none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved except the name Jesus. For the Bible said there is salvation in none other name. Now, would God give a name greater than His own name? Would God give a name greater than His own name? He wouldn't give a name greater than His own name. That wouldn't make sense. See, so God hasn't given a name greater than His own name. The name Jesus is the name of God. You know, Buddhist is the name of their God. Confucius is the name of their God. Allah is the name of their God. Jesus is the name of our God. You understand? This is why I preached in Kenya like I did. The Bible said one God, one faith, one baptism. God said to Israel, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love Him with all of thy heart, with all of thy mind, with all of thy soul. And as I said to the Kenyanites, I said, Where is another God? I said, If you said there's one God, then where is the other gods? Where is place for the other gods? If there's but one God, then where is place for the other gods? If he had said there was two gods, I might could have considered Allah. But see, if he said there's one God, then there's no place for other gods. And when Jesus created the heavens and earth, he said, I stretched out the heavens by myself. He said, there wasn't anyone there to help me. He said, who is my equal? I know not of any. Who? Where is there another God? He said, I don't know of another God. And he said, where is my equal? And how that people can take a discipline. I've read it myself in the Pentecostal churches. And they'll put a discipline down there that says, God, co-equal. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, co-equal. The Father is co-equal to the Son, and the Son is co-equal to the Holy Ghost. And all of these are co-equal, and not one of them has any power any more than another. Like I just heard somebody was telling me in the last day or two, they said this man was on the radio, and he was saying, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he said, and there's not one any greater than the other. He said, the Father has the same amount of power that the Son has, and the Son has the same amount of power that the Holy Ghost had. Don't you know that's absurd? That's absurd. Is God split up into a Trinity? Is there three gods? Where is my equal? He said, I don't know of an equal, Jesus said. Where is some God that's my equal? Where is anyone my equal? God is one God, just one God, that's all. See, and the name of God is Jesus. Jesus said, Father, I come in thy name. Father, thy name, not my own name. He said, I come in thy name. Someone would say, oh no, Brother Pye. He said, I come in your name, Father. He said, and they refuse to receive me. And that's what the world does today. They'll receive anything but the name of Jesus. Because the devil wants to do away with the name of Jesus. Because you can preach Father, you can preach Son, you can preach Holy Ghost, you can preach anything that you want to preach. But the devil's isn't going to leave. And you can say anything that you want to say in praying for the sick, but the devil's isn't going to leave until you make contact with God, and unless you're in fellowship with God, and unless you can take the name of Jesus Christ and call it over the sick, you're not going to get anything. And when you baptize a man in water, you can call anything that you want to, from Abraham on down to Elijah, but that isn't going to take away his sins. It has to be remission of sin in the name of Jesus, because the Bible said, in remission of sin shall be taught in his name, beginning at Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So there's no remission of sin without the name Jesus. You must call the name Jesus. The law teaches that if you call a man's name, you bring him present. You can be indicted for bringing up a man's name as to accusation. And it's the same way in the laws of God. You must call the name Jesus. Just like here, I say, why are we here? Somebody said, I came here in the name of the Church of God. I came here in the name of the UPC. I came here in the name of the Catholic Church. I came here in the name of Bethlehem. Folks, if you did, you wasted your time, and I'm wasting my time, and you wasted God's time. If you didn't come here in the name of Jesus, we just got a little gathering this morning, and we don't have anything to offer you. There's nobody here to give you anything, because I'm not able to give it to you except through the name of Jesus. So then the Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there am I in the midst. I came here in the name of Jesus. What did you come in this morning? I didn't come in my name. I didn't come here for my cause. I came in the name of Jesus. And I came for the purpose of instilling within your heart and your mind the word of God. The reason that I came to preach the word of God, the Bible said, he that God sendeth shall speak his word. And I've been sent of God. If I come here to speak God's word, then I speak God's word because you are saved by faith. And that faith cometh by the hearing of the word of the Lord. I tell you again that thousands and millions of people in this latter time are going to depart from the faith. The Bible said, and in the last days they shall depart from the faith. Many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So then they are departing not from believing. You can look around and tell that people are not departing from believing. There's more believers than ever before. Some believes in devils.
Some believes in God. Some believes in what their grandmother said. Some believes in what the preacher said. Some believes in the societies of this world. They believe in organizations. They believe in money. They believe in all kinds of things. More believers than we'd ever had, even religious believers. See, but that cannot bring you salvation. I tell you that if you believe, that's fine. That's a step toward the right thing, but devils believe also. You must have faith, and faith is not mere believing. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. Brother Taylor can tell me something, and I can believe that. Brother Taylor can say, Brother Pike, you're healed. You've been sick, and you're healed, and I can believe that and die and go to hell because I can believe a lie and be damned. But if Brother Taylor tells me the word of God, and I believe the word of God, if I sincerely believe the word of God, that's faith. That's from my heart. And I will not die and go to hell. I will not die and go to hell. I'll be healed of my sickness if I believe. And I'll be saved. Salvation will come into my heart. And I'll be saved from the things of the world. I'll come out from among the wretched people of this world. And I'll be a different person. And I'll be a light unto the world. For the Bible says the church is the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's very obvious that some of you don't have any works. No works at all, so far as good works. Everything you do, it's pertaining to the world or your own way of life, your own desire. You don't have any good works for God. How can you have faith? Men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So then it's obvious that faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. When the word of God comes to you and you believe that, that is faith, and that will save your soul. And when you believe that, it'll cause you to do something. When the word of God comes to you, you will do something accordingly. Whatever the word of God says, you will act upon it. That's why the writer said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by what I'm doing. Because it, the child being known by what he's doing, when the child does right, then it proves he is right. If the child does wrong, then it proves he is wrong. Isn't that so? So then we know that this is what God is trying to tell us. One God, one faith, power in the name of Jesus, conforming to the Spirit of Christ, having the Spirit of Christ on the inside of us. If I have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of me, I belong to God. If I do not have the Spirit on the inside of me, I do not belong to God, no matter how religious I am, no matter what my confession is. So many departs from the faith in the latter times. Here we are, we have the Spirit of Christ. Paul said, and I believe that I have the Spirit of Christ. How do I know that I have the Spirit of Christ? I have the Spirit of Christ because I act like Christ. I talk like Christ. I'm interested in the things that Christ was interested in. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he was in this world, he went about doing good, healing all. He was about his Father's business. His principal interest was always the Father, doing what the Father says. So then I have the Spirit of Christ because I feel that way, I act that way, I think that way. Day and night, that's on my mind, that's on my heart. I'm thankful because I have His Spirit. But folks, if you have the spirit of error, God did not give you the spirit of error. If you have the spirit of wanting to go out into the world to make money, to have a business, to have land, have houses, have all the convenience of life, God didn't give you that. The Bible said the devil savors the things that be of the flesh. Satan is the prince of this world. Satan is the one that likes ball games and frolics and the things of this world and the things that pertain to the flesh. Jesus said to Peter one time, Satan, thou savest the things that be of the world. And you're interested in the world because Satan is cut off from that world, that heavenly world. All he has is the things of this world. And naturally, this is his kingdom. And he'll do anything from rock and roll, movies, money, drinking, whatever it is, frolics, passions, to keep your mind and your interest in the world. That's why Paul said, having escaped the things of lust and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the things of this world, would you again want to be in bondage to the beggarly elements, he called them? These things of the world are beggarly elements. All of them are going to perish and you're going to perish with them. Now, would you like to again be in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world? Do you realize that when you give your mind to something, you are automatically in bondage, that your body can't do anything else? It's whatever your mind is, that's what you are. That mind is a bridle. And whatever your mind is, that's what you are. See, this mind controls you. And if your mind is worldly, if your mind is lustful, if your mind is after the things of the world, then your whole body is under the control of those things, and you are a servant to tribute, and you are in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. So this is why Paul uses the approach that he does here to the scripture. See, he said, while we are in the body, we are in this world. While we're in the body, we're in this world. Now we say, what do you mean by that? I mean that Christ on the inside of me, in my spirit, makes me one with God. And if I walk in the spirit, I'll not fulfill the desire of the flesh. The Bible said, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And the original rendering of that is desire. See, don't have the desire of this world. Don't go after the things of this world. Don't be interested in the things of this world. Mortify the deeds of the body. Kill out the flesh. Paul said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Kill out the outward man. Let him perish. Deny him of his ball games and his frolics and all of these other things, because that is the devil within you that's lusting after those things and hungering and thirsting after those things. And it's wooing you and enticing you and alluring you to those things that's unlike God. See, get rid of those things. Let Christ be on the inside of you, interwoven in a oneness with your spirit, and that way you'll be absent from the body. For we are not in the flesh, but we are in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells within you. If you have not his spirit, you're none of his. And we don't walk after the flesh, neither do we war after the flesh. We are withdrawn from the flesh, which, as I say, the flesh is in the world. And if I'm not in the flesh, I'm not in the world. For the Bible said you're not of this world, God's chosen you out of this world. So I am not in the flesh. I am in the spirit. I was in the flesh when I was born into this world. But I've been born again. And the Bible said, he that is born of spirit is spirit. I was born the first time a living soul. And now I'm born the second time a quickening spirit. As a living soul, I could sin. The Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. In Eve, Adam, all die. That is in the mother Eve. But in Christ, all are made alive. I can't die in Christ. There is no way I can die in Christ. I've passed from death unto life, and I am alive forevermore, even eternal life. I have eternal life. I'm not waiting to get eternal life. I'm not walking by faith down here as one that don't have anything, and one of these days I'm going to get eternal life. I'm not doing that. I already have eternal life. I've already been born again. I've already passed from death unto life. I already have this heavenly treasure within my earthen vessel. So then, this body, I mortify the deeds of the body. I deny the body. I turn away from the body. I look to the spirit. I walk in the spirit. I talk in the spirit. I meditate day and night in the laws of God, because this is my delight in him. And in that I delight myself in him, he gives me the desires of my heart. He makes me to ride upon the high places of the earth. He feeds me with the heritage of Jacob. He makes all of my beds in the time of my sickness. My cup runs over. I have the very desire of my heart. God is always with me. His blessing hath made me rich and added no sorrow. He's kept his word all the way. So that's why Paul says we need to be absent from the body and to be present with God. Now, to get a little more specific with it, I know that we're present in the body so far as life going on and the people looking at us. I know that. And Paul said we are present in the body. But we're still with God and we still love God and we're still trying to do the things of God, whether we are at home in the body or absent from the body. And he's using the terms here in an extreme, because he is saying to be absent from the body is to be present with God. That is, when we're dead, he said, the spirit goeth back to God who gave us. And we have a longing, he said, a desire to be with God, which is far better. That is my spirit to depart from this body, fold the old body up, lay the body away, let my spirit go back to God. You understand what I'm saying? See, the body ages, but the spirit never ages. The body ages. The spirit is life. The body without the spirit is dead. So then the body ages, but the spirit doesn't age. Now, if we don't want to age, we can keep from aging by believing in God. See, if we don't want to die, we can keep from dying by believing in God. Whatever we want to do, we can do it. Whatever we say, that's the way it'll be with us and according to our faith. See, this is what happened to Enoch. He walked with God and he walked with God and he walked with God, and finally he come into a place to where he couldn't age. He come into a place to where he couldn't age. If he couldn't age, then he couldn't die. There wasn't anything left for God to do except just translate him. So God translated him the same way with Elijah, the same way with Moses, and down through the years. See, so in the body there is death. Paul said, within my body there dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, but in the spirit. We walk in the spirit. We are in the spirit. If my spirit is in Christ's spirit, then that is heaven. That is heaven. And my body is now dead. And by Calvary, I am dead. I am dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. And he that knew no sin took that precious body and made it sin in the sight of God, that I might take this wretched body of mine, pass it through these transitional changes, and bring it out as that which is a new creature, a new form, that without death, that without sorrow. I can never die anymore. I can never die. Someone will say, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike, when they put you in a box, what is that? It's not death. If you are a Christian, it's not death. And I know, you know, we say six of one, half a dozen of another. Brother Pike, if you're dead, you're dead. But I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, there's a world of difference. Nothing less than a world. There is a world of difference. This body is made from the dust here. It is of this world. Jesus said, you come from the dust, you go back to the dust. I come from God, I go back to God. I'm not of this world. I go back to where I came from. He even told Nicodemus while he was here in this world, so this is heaven. I'm in heaven. Wherever God is, that's heaven. So then this body goes back to the dust. That's why we bury it in the name of Jesus. We bury it because of Calvary. The body is dead because of sin. Because of sin, Paul said, bury it. It's dead. God's rejected. It's the beast. It's that creature that's dead, gone. The image of the bastard child that God despises. He's killed it. He smote it at Calvary. And then he brings us up in the resurrection of life. The Bible said, having been delivered from my offenses, he is now raised again to prove that I am justified in the sight of God. Or raised again for my justification. And so then out of the water I come. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. And now I'm a new creature in Christ. I have eternal life. This is what I want you to get a hold of. That's why we sing, time shall be no more. We have eternal life. We've already passed from death unto life. We have the power of God in us to keep this body healthy and strong and youthful. Oh, somebody said, not so, Brother Pike. The Bible teaches it. The Bible teaches it, and the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. God renewed Abraham's youth. He renewed Sarah's youth. Back there, I'm telling you again, those men, some of them, a man 120 years old, when the commission came to him to go fight, said, we'll send somebody up and take a city for you. He said, for me? What do you want to do that for? He said, I feel the same way I did when I crossed the Jordan. He said, I can handle it myself. Abraham, a man supposedly up in age, when the battle got rough, he just climbed on a camel and went out there and fought the battle and came back and worship God. No problem. No problem. Moses, the Bible teaches, his eyesight had not waxed dim, and the natural sources of his body wasn't even abated. Why? Because he walked with God. Enoch, he walked with God. You don't have to die. God doesn't want you to die. Death is an enemy to God. It's not a friend to God. And we're the one to conquer it. It's already been conquered by Calvary. But I mean for us to conquer it as to enjoy the benefits of it. So this is what God has for you. So many exciting things. And then you go after the world. To go after the world is death. To be carnally minded is death. To sow to the spirit or to the flesh is to reap corruption. That's death. The Bible said you glory in your appearance. You glory in the weight lifting. You glory in the jogging. You glory in the appearance of your face. You glory in the apparel. You glory in cars and land, houses, education, all these kind of things. But we don't do that. We glory in God. And inwardly we are changed from glory to glory to this wonderful image of the Son of God. Strong and happy and full of life and ready to fight the battle at any time. Why? All because of God. So then Paul said, while we are at home in the body, that is, we're living, we're not dead, said we're still going to walk with God. We're still going to be with God because really we're in the spirit. We're not in the flesh. The flesh is dead. See, but he said, we have a desire to be with Christ, which is far better, to leave this body, to be absent from the body, to be present with God. And even when Paul was caught up into the third heaven, he said, I really don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body. He said, I can't tell. But he said, I do know this thing happened. I just want to say this morning, that we, as the church, we have the most glorious thing that has ever been given. This is the most glorious thing that has ever been given. And I get you down here to the altar so often because I want you to worship God and praise God and get a new exhilaration. I want you to be activated with the power and the presence of Christ. You know, and that's why I get you down here to come to the altar to sing with you and to pray with you, to excite you in the things of God, to give you a new vision for God. Because, folks, we've got something. Don't let the little Christ die out of your life. Cherish him. Cherish him. You remember the Old Testament? I brought it out to you. Solomon, the judgment. The little child that was dead. The mother had no inheritance. She must have the child. She must have the child. If you don't have the Christ child, you don't have any inheritance. Because he is your hope of glory. Because he alone is made heir to the glory. So then you must cherish the little Christ child. Don't let the world crowd him out. Because if the love of the world is in you, the Christ child isn't there. You know, we're drawing down near Christmas right now. It's just about time for the birth of the Christ child. As to the routine of birthday and whatever, you know. And it makes you stop and think a lot of times. But I try to think every day, do I have that Christ child? Is he in my heart? Is he growing bigger in my life? Am I conforming more to him? God, does the world see Christ when they look at me? Or is it that they see so much of me they can't see Christ? See, that's what we've got to ask. Is the illumination on the inside from glory to glory getting greater? Is the measure of Christ in my life greater than it was yesterday? Am I still more submissive today, more conforming today, more desiring today to do his thing than I am my thing? Let's give the Lord a hand. I want to be. That's what I'm trying to be. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah like you mean it. All right. So we're trying to do that. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be like Jesus. And you pray for me. And I pray for you. The Bible said pray one for another. And this is what we're trying to do. Satan creates an inconvenience like this morning. The heat and whatever. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. All right. So let's stand together. I'm not going to go any farther. We could go on and on talking about this particular chapter. So many exciting things in this chapter. We could go on and on, but always remember that Jesus is with you. He is with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And I'll never forget when he came to me in the vision in Miami, Florida, and he put the ring on my finger when he asked me, he said, where is the stone of thy birth? And I said, I don't know. He said, I shall get thee one. He put the ring on my finger. And when he slipped the ring on my finger, I remember his words until today, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But lo, I shall be with you in the time of trouble and in the time of need. Now the angel said that to me, or the Lord said that to me as he appeared to me in the vision and put the ring on my finger. But at the same time, You have the same promise because he's the Word. And he said to you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. You love the Lord? Let's sing a little chorus or two together. They can turn those heaters back on. We're going to sing this little chorus. And while we're singing this chorus, there's room at the cross. I want you to find your way down here. It'll warm up in a few minutes. Take a minute or two for Christ. I say again, when the man took a few minutes for God, God gave him 15 years. He added 15 years to his life. And many people, they've ceased to be. They're not living today because they couldn't take a few minutes for God. And they died at a young age. But others that took time for God, some of them are very aged, but they're still alive because they took time for God. I noticed Brother Thomas the other night sitting here over 80 years old, but he took time for God. The songwriter said, take time for Jesus because he took time for you. Don't you feel alive? I feel alive, folks. I really do. From my heart, I can feel the quickening of God. You know, just like you hook up an electrical current and it runs through you. I feel that going in and out my heart and up and down my nerve system, in my head, my eyes, my arms, my fingers, my toes, all down through my body. I feel that because I am alive. I'm alive forevermore. I once was dead. Jesus said, now I'm alive forevermore. Because he lives, then you can live. And this is the beautiful thing of serving God. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Sing it with me. For at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Can you sing with me? Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing that again? Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in today and come in to stay.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sweep over my soul. Over my soul, speak, Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest that is complete, while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing this with me. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it again. For we've anchored. Wilder. Singing. If you've not given your heart to God, I'd like to see you give your heart to God this morning. Gotten away from God, I'd like to see you come back to the Lord. What is better than eternal life? What is better than eternal life? I mean, what better thing could you have out of all the things that you can obtain in life and all the things that you can get out in the world? There's really nothing to be compared to eternal life. Why not give your heart to God? Why not renew your vows to the Lord? Why not renew your vows to the Lord? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it one more time? For we have anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. Although the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every day. I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. Can you sing that with me? So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to
your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away.
Let's lift our hands up to the Lord. Close our eyes. Let's call on Jesus. Can you call on Jesus? Can you call on Jesus? And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you call on the name of the Lord this morning? The Bible said, call on him while he is near. While he's nearby, call on him. He could leave any time. And the saints of God are getting closer and closer to the crossing. The end of the world is here. The great change is coming. And it's so close at hand, folks. Lift your hands up and let's sing this chorus together that we've sang so many times. And the fullness of time came at Calvary, and Jesus came. Together all things in heaven and in earth into the body of Jesus. And the fullness of time came. And when the fullness of time came, God took away our sins. And Messiah shall come, the angel said to Daniel, and make an end of sin. And so the fullness of time came, and he took away our sins. And then he translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God. For the Bible said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Men pressed their way into it. And he put you in the kingdom of God. And men went forth preaching the name of Jesus as a door and entrance into the kingdom of God. And today, we're standing here today. You that have been born again, you that have believed on the Lord, he hath translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God. And you're just as safe as you can be. For he that is born of God cannot sin. The evil one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself. And that inward man is sealed until the day of the change or the redemption of that body. So then you're his. And you belong to him. You belong to God. Though you stumble, though you stagger, and though many times you're enticed, and Satan through his alluring, he leads you off of the straight and narrow path. But always Jesus, he calls and he calls, and you can't rest. No matter where you go, he keeps saying, come home, come home. It's supper time. It's supper time. They sing that song so many times. Come home, come home. It's supper time. Let's sing that together before we sing the other. Come home, come home, it's supper time. And the shadow rolling fire. Come home, it's supper time. We're all going home. At last, can you sing that again? Come home, it's supper time. The shadows, they're lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're all going home. Sing it one more time with me. Come home,
shadows think fine. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
You know, we're not at home in this world. Heaven is our home, and God is our Heavenly Father. And we've been away for a long time,
and He's calling us home. Calling us home.
And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more.
Sing it with me now.
For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be.
I was just thinking about Granny Pearl, Sister Frances's mother. They just laid her to rest, and she was of a full age. I believe she was maybe 90 or more, and I thought about that, the pearl of great price. Of course, Mother is the pearl of great price as to the natural. But I thought, you know, something is happening. I watched Brother Mac, it is, cut down this vine down here near what they call the Father's house. We're just now publishing that song I wrote about casting the sickle. And it speaks of cutting down the vine. And Revelation speaks of cutting down the vine. We say that went through the grapevine, and we speak of cutting down the vine. Once the vine's cut down, there's no more fruit. That vine was a full producing fruit vine, very good, but in the wrong place. And it was all twisted up. And Mikey cut it down. Cut down the vine. The Bible said it cut down the vine. There'd be no more harvest. That is, gather all the people from all over the world into the Valley of Armageddon, and then the blood runs to the horse's bridle. Cut down the vine. Get rid of humanity. No more reproducing. And that's the way it is. You that understand, you know that time is gone. You know it's gone. When the voice spoke it into existence, it's been here ever since. But the same God that spoke through a human voice and said, let there be, and there was, He has returned to speak through the ministry of today. And that same voice is revelating your thoughts. Revelating your thoughts to speak the same world out of existence that He spoke into existence. He spoke the world into existence by putting it in your heart. And the Bible said the world is in your heart, and the love of the world is in your heart from your first birth. And He spoke it into existence by that great light, which is a knowledge receding, to allow the vanity to come forth as to shadows that would bring night, that would give us a time peace. And time came into existence. But now He's coming to revelate and to do away with the shadow, that the mind of Christ, which is the garden, which is the garden, the millennium, the restoration, Eden, which is the garden, the mind of Christ, that all of the shadows may leave, all of the briars and the thorns may be taken away, even of the oppressing thoughts of doubt and despondency and fear and conflict of life, that it all can be eradicated physically, and that the natural can be eradicated. That is to say, the physical briars of sickness, of hurt and pain and misery, and the spiritual briars of assailing, accusing thoughts of spiritual impressions, and the natural thorns and briars that are around you that prick the hand and hurt the body. So, God is doing away with them. And when we speak from glory to glory on the inside, you're changing. And every thought becomes unveiled. You change. And then it's a light. It's a thought of understanding, which is light. And the shadow of confusion, doubt and fear, it is eradicated. So the world is being spoken out of your heart. The same way that He spoke the world into your heart, it's been spoken out of your heart. And the same way as when the world came into your heart, there was a change from that bright, illuminated, glorious garden into a world of problems. And the same thing is happening to the church now. You're getting the mind of Christ, and He's speaking the world out of your heart. And all of a sudden, once it's completely eradicated, there's going to be a change of your body right back into that glorious garden, out of this world of shadows and problems. And with the shadows going, there's no more time. For with the coming of shadows, there's time. By the old dial clock, you get your time. So when it's gone, that's it. And folks, Calvary, done away with it. That was the fullness of time. And we've taught you these things in a measure. So let's sing that song again. If thou canst believe, having passed from death unto life, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. So then we are saved by faith to be translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye when this mind is completed. As to the tutoring, then comes the change. All of the world should know about this. You're great and mighty sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God. You don't have to wait to become the sons of God. Sons of God are eternal. They have eternal life. You're sons of God with power. You're like children under the tutors. You differ nothing from a child, though you be Lord of all. But you're developing now. And as you get this knowledge, it's the mind of Christ. You'll rule with the power of God and the rod divine. Let's sing it again, can we? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Can you sing it with me? For the angel shall stand on the sea and no land and time. Can you sing that with me? No more, and time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be no more. Lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes. Can you accept Jesus by faith this morning? Can you let Him into your heart? I feel God. I feel God. I feel the yoke broken. And I feel faith. Hallelujah. I feel faith. And the Bible said, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And there's liberty. I feel it flowing through hearts, not hearts of condemnation, but I feel it flowing through hearts of reconciliation. And I feel it flowing through hearts that are open. Standing at the heart's door knocking, I stand there and knock. He said, if you'll open to me, I'll come in and sup with you. Solomon looked and said, the drops of the night, they're in his lock, for he's locked outside. In the intellectual night of this world, he's locked outside. But he's knocking at the heart's door, which is faith. And he's asking to be let in. He's asking to be let in. The thing is, will you let him in? Will you? He that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. He that calleth upon me, it shall come to pass.
he shall be saved. For I shall not turn him away. If you'll call upon me, Jesus said, in the time of your trouble, call upon me and I'll help you. And I'll help you. Hallelujah. While your hands are up, I'm going to call Brother David Paul up here, if he will. And while David is coming to pray, I want you to think on Jesus. Think what a great, wonderful world it is for you, and that you have eternal life, and that you are eternal, eternally rich, eternally young, eternally strong, eternally powerful. You are people that are eternal, that will pass beyond this veil. You'll never age anymore. You'll never be tired anymore. You'll never be weary. You'll never be poor. You'll never be lacking. Can you trade that for the world? Oh, I know you can't. I know you can't. Let's love him. Can you lift your hands up and praise him?